Let's remain standing for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Hope that the Lord will help us to do our best to preach what God is. Everybody comfortable? Anybody too hot, too cold? Just right? Okay. All right, let's turn once again tonight to the book of 1 John and chapter number 2. We're moving right on down through this little book, verse by verse, right on down through it, and trying to glean from it what God gives us. And some of it's a little slow and some of it's not so slow. But it's good learning. It's a good admonition for us as a child of God. I want to begin reading again tonight for the sake of reading and getting our verse of Scripture in the context that it's written in. I want to begin reading in verse number 18, 1 John chapter number 2. Bible said, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Boy, here's that famous little three-letter word. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading, and let's pause to pray, and I'll let you be seated. And then we'll get right into the thought for tonight. I ask you to pray for me. I generally try to do about a page and a half of notes. I run out of 2 pages and still wasn't done, but I quit anyway. But a lot of it's just little simple things that we can hurry right through, I believe. And we'll have you out here by 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And praise God, we can go home shouting, get up, eat eggs and bacon and go to work, can't we? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we do love you tonight because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, for this book in the Word of God that you've given us for our learning, for our admonition, for our strength. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that's in it. I pray tonight for the power of God upon me. I've got to have that filling of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, you empty my mind of anything contrary to God and fill it full of the Holy Spirit, full of words of truth and verity and righteousness. I pray you'll bless me and make me a blessing. I pray you'll provide liberty. We do pray for your divine presence and power in this place, that sinners might be converted, your people might be revived again, Lord. I pray for divine help. You're a present help in trouble. We need you tonight. Open our hearts of understanding, Lord, tonight. Show us the truth from this verse of Scripture as we preach through it. And make it a blessing to the people of God and their sinners in our midst tonight. I pray that tonight would be the night they'd come to Jesus and be saved. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that is accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to read again for our text verse tonight, verse number 21, where John says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He closed out in verse number 20 by saying, and ye know all things. You know all things. And then he talks about the fact that we know the truth. And that he is not writing to this people because they know not the truth, but because they know the truth. And there is no lie in them. There's lie. He says there that no lie is of the truth. Therefore, no lie would be in them. I want to take that verse number 21 and preach for just a little while tonight on the thought, do you know what you know? I've heard a lot of preachers say, I don't know much, but what I know it. Amen. And we ought to know what we know. Absolutely. We ought to know a whole lot about what we know. And we ought to be prepared to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. If a man asked us or questions our salvation, we oughtn't have to stutter around for a half an hour before we give him a reason for the hope that is in us. Now, I've got a hope tonight. And by the way, it is not in any of the presidential candidates. I've got a hope tonight, and it's not in our government. My hope tonight is in a person, but it's not one of the politicians. My hope is in a king, but it's not a king of this earth. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. My hope tonight is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. And I want to preach a little bit on that. Do you know what you know? Do you know what you know? Now, by way of introduction, I want to say just a couple of things, if I may, about verse number 20. And I want to do that simply to show the connection that it has to verse number 21. There are two things mentioned in verse number 20. First of all, he mentions that unction that we have from the Holy One, or that is the anointing that we have from the Holy One. And then he said, and you know all things, and so therefore, he's speaking about the knowledge that we have. And so he's talking about anointing and knowledge, which are, according to the Bible, very closely related together. Now, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in every believer, provides this anointing. You can just mark that down. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of His. I want to say again tonight that every born-again child of God is indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That's a great witness that we have. Thank God we've got an eternal witness, who is the Lord Jesus in the heavens. And we've got an internal witness, the Holy Spirit. And we've got an external witness, which is the Word of God. And they all witness to us that we are the child of God. And it is His gracious operation within us, which imparts to us true knowledge of divine things. Now you notice there in verse number 20, these words, he said, you know all things. This signifies those who have received the Spirit are given a saving apprehension of the foundational parts of the gospel, so that they are brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, and thereby are fitted to commune with and obey God. That's what he told me when he said, you know all things. He's simply saying that the anointing that you have, that unction that you have, has enabled you to apprehend the fact of the gospel. I'm glad, thank God, that the convicting power of the Spirit of God still works, ladies and gentlemen, to make us aware of the power of the gospel. It was the Holy Ghost that came to where you and I were and helped us to realize, or made us to realize, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And don't you let anybody shake you from that. It is still by grace through faith. Like, I don't know if I said it Sunday night or not, but we got home Sunday afternoon. I had such a mess on my answering machine, and it was humorous. I sat there and listened to it a half a dozen times and liked to laugh my fool head off. Some fella talking about all of us independent Baptist preachers, that we're wolves in sheep's clothing, we're all lost, and we're all going to hell. Well, I don't know who that man was. I know who sent that little innuendo on my telephone. I don't know who that preacher was, but I can tell you one thing. I know one independent Baptist preacher that is not lost. I know one independent Baptist preacher that is not going to hell, and you're looking at him. And I know that for a fact, because I was there the day that Christ lifted me out of darkness and brought me into the eternal liberty and light of the children of Almighty God. And that was done by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is right. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. For old time Holy Ghost salvation. Old time Holy Ghost anointing and conviction that brings us out of darkness into this glorious light that we stand in today. Amen. And it enables us to commune with God. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you really communicated with God? I'm not talking about when was the last time you read your Bible. And I'm not talking about when was the last time you got down and said four or five words in a prayer and thought you'd surely prayed all there was to pray. I'm talking about when was the last time you know that you communicated with God. If I asked you when was the last time you communicated with your spouse, now you could give me that answer very easy. But I guarantee you there's not many people tonight that could actually stand in this congregation and tell me the last time that you know that you communicated with God. Well, I'm telling you that unction, that anointing that we have, it enables us to communicate with our God. If it was not for the Holy Ghost, that unction that dwells within us, there wouldn't be a one of us that would be able to communicate with our God. And by the way, it's the Holy Ghost that enables us to obey our God. No man in the flesh can obey the Word of God. That is exactly right. He helpeth our infirmities. Amen. He enables us to obey the Word of God. Now, come on now. Y'all stay with me and don't leave me. Hallelujah. Now, by the Spirit's gracious teaching, or the teaching of the Holy Spirit, believers are granted an experiential or an effectual knowledge of divine things, making it impossible for them to become deceived by doctrine or by false teachers. Now that's what John's been talking about here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. He's talking about those false teachers. But he said, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And you need not that any, and you know all things. And I'm telling you that unction that we have from the Holy One enables us to recognize false doctrine and false teaching the minute it comes to our little ears. Amen. That's right. I've been sitting in a few independent Baptist churches and I've heard strange things, I can actually say, that come to my ears in those days, ladies and gentlemen. I'm hearing some strange doctrines in the last days. And you know why we are? I want you to get this if you don't get anything else. Because we're living in the last days. And the Lord said there'd come a great falling away in the last days. And men are confused today because there's not much going on in the house of God. And they think things ought to be like it was back in the 1700s and 1800s. But I'm telling you, we're not living back then. God did not give us birth in the 1800s when Charles Spurgeon preached. And God didn't put Spurgeon in the year 2000. God put us here. God give them grace for them. God will give us grace for now. Somebody say amen right there. That's exactly right. And there's a lot of false doctrine cropping up because they're man-made and men are trying to make something happen when only the Holy Ghost has the power to make things happen in the house of God. Somebody say amen right there. We've got motivators, orators, and with their great ways of speaking and the way they can put adjectives together and describe things, they can make things happen. Some of them can tell little tear-jerking stories that could jerk a tear out of a glass eye and make things happen. Some of them can tell ghost stories and make things happen. But I'm telling you, a lot of things that's happening don't necessarily mean they're happening by God. If the Holy Ghost don't do it, ladies and gentlemen, it will not get done. But He said, but ye have an unction. And thank God, God's given us the ability through that unction to recognize false doctrine and false teachers when they're in our midst, even though some of them may be independent Baptists. Amen right there. I'm not going to be as brazen as this other preacher was and say all independent Baptist preachers are going to hell, but I'd say some of them are. And I'd also say, I know some, I'm afraid I probably know some Pentecostals are going to be right there with them too. And some Nazarenes. And some Methodists. Everybody ain't going to heaven. Not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But those that do the will of God, that's who's going to glory. I'll tell you who'll help you do the will of God is that unction, that Holy Ghost that you have dwelling in your bosom. But ye have an unction that will help you to commune and help you obey the Word of God. Amen. That's right. Now, hallelujah. A person can have no saving nor sound knowledge without this anointing. I don't care who you are. It's an impossibility to be saved apart from the Holy Ghost. I've heard preachers get up and preach, well, I got saved, and then I prayed, and I received it 6 years later, and I received the Holy Ghost. I don't know about that either. I don't know about that either. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? Hey, that's right, I had a fellow to call me here on a marathon once. And he said, preacher, I want to talk to you about something. I said, well, let her go. He said, I've heard you preach many a times. I've heard you preach under the anointing many times. And I've heard you preach with the power of God many times. But he said, there's one little thing that you lack. And I said, well, my friend, what is that? I knew exactly where it was going before he ever said a word. He said, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Don't you believe that a man's got to be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved? He said, oh, yes, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, there's no way you can be saved. I said, well, I haven't, but yet you just told me I'd preach under the anointing, under the power of God. To preach under that anointing tells me that I've got the unctionizer who is the Holy Ghost. Now, if I'm not saved, pray God tell me how I got the Holy Ghost. And if I don't have the Holy Ghost, how can I preach under the anointing that He gives? He said, you know, I'm going to have to think about that. I said, I hope you do. Give it some real consideration, sir. That is right. Hallelujah. A person can have not one bit of saving. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Because they're spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. The only way you can know and understand spiritual things is by having unction. That anointing. It is the anointing that grants you the knowledge from the Word of God. It's the Holy Ghost that reveals, enlightens, and opens up that Bible. It is the Holy Ghost that opens up truth to you that you might know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. That is exactly right. Now, listen carefully. I'll get to the message here in a little while. Ain't got there yet. Now, the verse before us provides, listen carefully, great Christian assurance. Oh, I know some said you don't have assurance, but it gives us great Christian assurance. You say, how, preacher? Well, John, it's almost like John pauses in this verse. It's almost like he takes a little time out and a little pause to clarify himself when he said, and you know all things. And he said, now let me clarify that. He said, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. I'm not writing to you to straighten you out. I'm not writing to you because you do not know the truth. I'm writing to you because you know the truth. And that no lie is of the truth. Now that tells me that he's writing to them to give them great assurance. You know the truth. I would to God that I had the ability to give you that assurance tonight. Amen. That you'd be assured in your heart that you know the truth. Now listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say, and it might help you. John pauses here to assure them that it is not because he deems them to be uninstructed, nor because he fears that they are unsound or even wavering in the faith. He entertains no doubts about their spiritual intelligence, but assures them that since they had received the unction from the Holy One, he was fully persuaded that they were fully acquainted with the saving grace of the gospel and had an understanding of the truth. John wrote, he said, you know the truth. He said, I'm not writing to you because I fear you're wavering in the faith. I'm not writing to you because to try to instruct you and have a fear that you've not been instructed in righteousness. He said, I'm writing to you because you know the truth. He said, I want to try to be a help to you. I want to encourage you. I'm not writing to discourage you. I want to encourage you. And I want to say tonight, if this church does not know the truth by now, God help us, we never will know the truth. I'm not preaching to you tonight because you don't know the truth. I'm preaching to you tonight because you do know the truth. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And no lies of the truth. I'm not writing to you tonight because you're ignorant. I'm preaching to you tonight because you know all things. That's what John said. He's writing to them by way of encouragement. They knew the truth. Now I want you to get a hold of this. They knew the truth. They knew the Father as the God of truth. Because it says so in Jeremiah 10:10. As the God of truth. The Bible said, God who cannot lie, amen, hath promised you eternal life from the foundation of the world. God the Father is truth. Amen. Christ is the embodiment of the truth. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, amen, and the life. Truth was embodied in him. The whole sphere of truth was embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you saw him, you saw truth. Or when they saw him, they saw truth. There is no lie in him. No error in him. No sin in him. No unbelief in him. Amen. No false doctrine in him. He came from the Father of truth, therefore he's the Son of the truth, and truth was embodied in him. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless his holy name. Hallelujah to God. That's why he said, and if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Know him, and he'll make you free. And then, the Scriptures are the Word of truth. It says that in Ephesians 1:13. That this Bible is the Word of truth. Amen. It says so in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Amen. They knew the truth. They knew the Father. Amen. They knew the Son. Amen. Amen. They knew the Scriptures. Amen. And they knew that they were the truth. And you know that. I'm not preaching to you tonight because you don't know that. I'm preaching to you tonight because you are that. You do know that. Amen. Now, Christian knowledge is so humbling and self-abasing. Real Christian knowledge ought to humble us. Amen. Not puff us up. Now, I might say a little bit more about that again in a minute. But it humbles us. Real truth will. Now listen very carefully. I'm getting ready to say. The knowledge of divine things, which is received in a natural way from men or from reading books, puffeth up. Everybody look right up here at me. I want to say that to you one more time. I want to say it one more time. The knowledge of divine things that comes to us by natural man through books or by natural man will pop you up. Some of you ain't got a hold of it yet. Let me finish the thought. 1 Corinthians 8 warns where that's found. It produces self-esteem and presumption. But the spiritual knowledge, which comes from God, reveals to a person his empty conceits, his ignorance, his worthlessness. The teaching of the Spirit reveals to a soul what a miserable failure he is. Amen. How very far short he has fallen of measuring up to the standard of conduct set for him, and what horrible corruption indwells him, and that makes him little in his own eyes. I'm going to tell you, you get knowledge from a man or reading somebody's book, and it doesn't come from the Holy Ghost of God, you better be careful. There's nothing wrong with reading books. I read books. I study from books. Every day I read books. Every day I study from books. Every day I take man's thoughts. But I'm telling you, if the knowledge I gain comes from man only, yeah, amen, it's subject to puff a man up. But I'm going to tell you, get out of King James 16:11 Bible, hallelujah to God, and begin to delve into the Scriptures of the Word of God, and let the Holy Ghost lead you through that book. Let the Holy Ghost magnify the Scriptures. Let Him glorify Christ to you. I'll tell you, it won't puff you up. It'll make you see your own self-corruption. It'll make you see how ignorant you really are. It'll make you see how you've fallen short of the standard of conduct God wants out of you. And it will not puff you up. It will humble you. Hallelujah. Amen. I won't use this, and I'm not. I know if I do, somebody's going to say, well, he's just doing this to brag. No, I'm not. But I remember years ago, and some of you will know about it, when there was a group of few people in the church, and some preachers were behind it, and they were trying to run me off. You remember it. Amen. I told Miss Ruth about some of the Scriptures. Isaiah 10. Isaiah 48. But I kept praying. I can tell exactly where I was sitting on 35 Timmons Lane. Sitting in that room that Brian Williams built onto that little house for us up there. At our dining room table with my back toward the kitchen. With my King James 16:11 Bible. And I kept reading through that book. Studying, the Lord run me here to this reference, and the Holy Ghost run me, and God, the Holy Ghost was just a flood in my soul, and I'm tell you, the tears was just a running down my cheeks and off of my chin, not sitting there having myself a real time with God. And in so many words, this is what he said. He said, and he took me to this passage of Scripture in Psalms, and again in the book of Hebrews. Now, I don't say this braggingly, but here's what he told me. He said, they're not going to get the job done. He said, because I have anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And it broke my heart. I cried that much more. I said, Lord, I said, I understand that that Scripture is written about Jesus. That God has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. But God said, I have anointed you with an oil of gladness above that crowd that's trying to run you off. And you've got an unction from the Holy One. There is a power in you. And they're not going to get the job done. I'm going to tell you, I didn't jump up. It's been so many, probably 15 years ago. And as far as I know, this is the first, maybe the second time I've ever mentioned it in a congregation of people. You know why? Because it humbled me. Amen. To know that God would reveal that truth to me. And bless me in a way like that. Now, if I'd have read that out of some man's book, I'd have probably come in with my chest swelled up, and it'd have probably been like a hack snow. I'd have been moving on. But that's been probably 15 years ago, and by the grace of God, I'm still here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know if I know exactly what that oil of gladness is, but I think I've displayed it a few times in the church services. Yeah. I've carried on like I really am glad to be saved. Amen. Now, I'm satisfied with a whole lot of other Baptists had that anointing. They'd tell like they're really glad they're saved. I don't know many Baptists act like they're really glad they've been to Calvary. Been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's really glad God's given you an unction that you know all things. Amen. And you need not that one teach you again, but you know all things. And you know that no lies of the truth. God, the Holy Ghost, has taught you that. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. But ye have an unction. You've got an understanding. You've got an anointing. And that anointing has given you a knowledge that you know all things. Hallelujah. And I'm not writing to you, John said, because you don't know the truth. I'm writing to you because you do know the truth. Amen. That's what the Bible, am I reading it? Is that what the Bible says or not? I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. Now that's so strange. Let me ask something. Do you know? What you know? Or do you know about it? Or do you know what you know? Oh yeah, I know I'm saved. Do you know what you know? Oh yeah, I know I've been redeemed. Do you know what you know? A lot of folks spit out words that they don't know what they're talking about. Amen. Come on in the house now. Stay right with me. John the Baptist, here's a good illustration of what I was just talking about. John the Baptist, the Bible said, Jesus himself said, of men born of woman is not a greater than John the Baptist. Amen. Not a greater. He was given great favor. He was given abundant light. And yet he said that I'm not worthy to loosen the shoe latchet that's on his feet. He was the forerunner of Christ.
Yep.
He was Elijah incarnate, I believe. What a great man of God.
Yep.
But when he was questioned about Jesus, he said, he must increase and I must decrease.
Yep.
It wasn't a man that told him that. It wasn't the Sheba. Hey, it was those years on the backside of the desert alone with God. The Holy Ghost conveyed to his heart the blessed truths about Jesus is exactly, woo! That's exactly what, amen, told him that. Amen. What about Paul? There wasn't a greater apostle than Paul. That's right. He was granted such insight. He was caught up to the third heaven and saw things. Now get this. John wrote about things that he saw in heaven. But Paul said, I saw some things that wasn't even lawful for me to talk about. He said, what I saw were greater things than what John saw. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm going to tell you what Paul said. He said, I'm the least of all the saints.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
You know why? Because his knowledge didn't come from a man. He said he didn't confer with flesh and blood.
Right.
It didn't come from a man. It came from the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, when the Spirit of God shows you something, buddy, I'm telling you, and write it on the tables of your heart. Mark her down. It's there. It's not going anywhere. You're not going to forget it. It's there for all time and eternity. Because he has wrote his law upon the fleshly tables of your heart. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's why we can obey him. That's why we can live for him. His word is written in grace on the fleshly tables of our hearts. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, those that have received this unction, it's simple. I've got three simple little thoughts. What do they know that they know? Three little things that they know that they know. And I feel very confident in my heart that this congregation of people, that you know what you know. I'm satisfied of that. Somebody said, what is it, preacher? Simple. They are fully persuaded. I'm going to put it this way. I am fully persuaded. I'll write it like I got it so it'll sound right. They are fully persuaded that they know Christ as a sinner's Savior.
Amen.
He didn't come to call the righteous. Those that have that anointing know that God didn't come to call good people. God didn't come to save righteous people. He came to save bad people. He came to save sinners. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. The vilest, the most wretched, the wickedest, the sinfulest. That's who He came to save. Hallelujah. And if you're saved tonight, the Holy Ghost has testified to your heart that I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you got to get real good to get saved. You'll never get there. And the longer I serve Him, the more sinful I see myself.
Amen.
And you don't have to agree with that, but that's just because you've never got there yet.
Right.
The closer you get to Jesus, the more sinful you're going to see yourself.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, that's what, Brother Ray, that's what makes grace so pleasant and beautiful. That the closer you get to Him, the more sinful you see yourself.
Amen.
But then you turn, amen, on one side is all of your sin. On the other side is grace. Thank God and grace balances the scales. And we're justified. Thank God we're justified. Hallelujah. Justified. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Bathed in the blood of the Lamb. Made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Thank God. Bless His holy name. Yes, sir. Only sinners understands that Jesus come to save sinners.
Amen.
Mr. High and Mighty and Muckety Muck. I mean, folks around here, bless God, in Madisonville. Them goes up to the First Church, and big churches like that have to carry an umbrella with them on every day that it rains, but then it's not because they'd get wet, they'd drown. They got that nose up in the air, they'd get waterboarded and wouldn't even know it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you, they think they're somebody. A lot of people got the idea they're somebody. He didn't come to save somebody's. He came to save anybody. That's a nobody.
Amen.
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 Not somebody, but anybody. That's a nobody.
Amen.
Not a busybody, but a nobody. Woo, woo, woo. Hallelujah to God. I thought about that old prodigal son down eating in that hog trough.
Yeah.
The Bible said when he came to himself,
yeah,
realized a hard servant's got it better than his father's house. He said, I know what I'm going to do. Said, I'm going to my father and tell him, Father, I've sinned. Amen. But the father saw him coming a long way off, tells me we were looking for him. Woo! Hallelujah! You say you surprised God today, you got in. Nothing's ever taken God by surprise. He was looking for you and waiting on you. Amen to God. He knew the very day the Holy Ghost conviction set in on you. Yes, sir, that's right. And He was standing right there when you said, Amen to the gospel. And left the hog pen and headed for the Father's house. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, Just like the prodigal, everybody that goes to God expects the worst. He expected the worst. He said, I'll go, confess I'm a sinner, not worthy to even be called your son. He went expecting the worst, and guess what? He got the best. Woo! Amen! Amen! Father said, go get the best robe that we got in the house. Get a ring! Get the best shoes we got! Put them on his feet! By the way, get that fatted calf! He that my son who was lost is found! Hallelujah to God! It's shout time in heaven! Yeah, I got to thinking. I got to thinking about that old maniac that no man could tame. Now, I'm talking about that he saved sinners. They couldn't have been that sinners are persuaded. They know that Christ is the sinner's Savior. What about that maniac? No man could tame him. Wild, very wild. Lived in the tombs amongst the dead. But when he saw Jesus, he run and fell down at Jesus' feet. And guess who was the first one to speak? Legion. Them devils, they knew who Jesus was. Do you come to cast us out into the deep before time? Said, let's go into them hogs. I'm going to tell you, a hog couldn't even stand to have a devil living in him.
Amen.
2,000 of them down a steep place into the sea and drowned. A.A. McGowan said they didn't drown, said they swam out on the other side and started a Church of Christ. Reckon that old maniac, reckon he had an unction and knew that, had a knowledge that Christ come to save sinners.
Amen.
What about you and me tonight? Where were you at? What hog pen was you in? What graveyard was you living in? What dark pit was you living in? What mire was you sinking in? Amen. When Christ came to where you was and lifted you out and you realized you didn't have a doubt in your mind that He came to save sinners. Do you know what you say you know? Hallelujah. Woo-wee. I thought I had one more here. Yeah, I thought about old Mary Magdalene. Luke chapter number 7, standing at the feet of Jesus, washing his feet with the hairs, with the tears, and wiping them with the hairs of her head. And old Simon said, he couldn't possibly be a real prophet. If he was, he'd know what kind of a woman this is that's got her hands on him. Jesus, knowing his thoughts, said, Simon, Simon, I've got something I want to say to you. And he said, say on, Master. He said, when that time I got here, said, You didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't give me no water and wash my feet. Said, ever since I come in, this woman has anointed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And therefore, her sins, being great, are forgiven. Now, I skipped the part about him that loved us much and all this, and I don't have time to go into all that. But her sins were forgiven. You reckon Mary Magdalene realized, had an unction? Do you realize she had an unction and knew? You think she knew what she said she knew? Apparently she did. Because that morning when he come up out of the grave, she said, I will not depart till I see my Master. And she saw him. And friend, you found her at the same place you did in Luke 7, at his feet.
Amen.
Amen. I believe 7 devils went out of her. A prostitute! Oh, we scoff at them today. We mock them today. But I wish God had saved about 10 of them and set them in the choir. Amen. Let them sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Somebody said, now, I won't believe God ought to save a bunch of prostitutes and bring them into the house of God. Well, what was you before you got saved, Mr. and Mrs. Righteous? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go out across the road and gather up a bucket of rocks. set them up here, and whichever one of you jokers is not done without sin, I'll let you get up here and start rocking the crowd. What do you say? Anybody, you mark well what I'm saying, this is very simple. Anybody that's saved knows that Christ came to save sinners. Now you say you know that, but do you know what you know? Forgiven. Well, I don't quite see myself that bad. You're going to hell, friend.
Amen.
You're bound for hell.
Amen.
Now, stay right with me. Every one of those come to Christ hoping to find peace for their conscience, proving that all their self-efforts were in vain. They'd tried and tried and couldn't get in, couldn't find any peace. Knowing that Christ's finished work is perfect and nothing more is required. His blood, but His blood and His righteousness. And they found that peace that they'd been longing for. And they stopped trying and let Christ do. Oh, I've heard so many people say, are you saved? You're going to heaven. Oh, I'm trying! You'll never make it! Stop trying and yield to Him. He's already done it.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I got to hurry. You're dying on me. Never was really alive. But they realize that this great salvation is free. And they realize that Christ is sufficient and satisfactory.
Amen.
Does He satisfy you today? If you were set out in the middle of the street today with nothing but the clothes on your back and Jesus, would you still be happy?
Amen.
Now, I must say it probably drained the sap out of us a little bit. But I do believe that that unction from the Holy One would bring the sap back up.
Amen.
By the way, springtime just around the corner. I can't wait for the sap to raise in the tree. And the flowers to bud and the birds to sing. Woo! I hope we can see a little singing around here.
Amen.
Some flowers blooming around here. A little sap raising up around here.
Amen.
Praise God. We need to come in here on Wednesday night like a young horse been, I start saying another word for him. Young horse been shut up all winter long, buddy. In here kicking and springing on both feet. Hallelujah to God. Leaping and walking in the house. That's right, right. Now, they were fully persuaded that the Scriptures is the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, we say we believe the King James Bible. Do we really? Do you know? Do you know what you say you know? Or are you just saying what you've heard somebody else say? Does it just sound good to you? I'm King James all the way. Did the Holy Ghost convict you of that, or did some man?
That's
right.
Amen.
Did that unction give you knowledge of that, or some man? Amen.
Amen.
I'll say amen myself. Now, listen carefully. They do not doubt its inspiration. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 3:16 said, for all Scripture is given the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. No doubt about its inspiration. I know that tonight. I've got an unction from the Holy One. And when I picked that up, the Holy One that dwells within me said, thank God you've got the book again. I went into my office today. There was a few little pieces of mail laying there. And one of them, I think, was from Billy Graham's crusade or something or other. And it was supposed to be some kind of little devotional. And I just tore it out of the plastic and opened it up. It came to Psalm 62. 2, I believe, and verse 2. I believe that's what it was. And I read it, and the Holy Ghost said, wrong scripture. I just shut it up, throwed it in the trash. I didn't read no. It's in there. You can go in there and look at it if you want to. It's in there in the trash can. The unction. The anointing says, wrong book.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Still believe the King James is the Word of God. I do not question its inspiration. I do not question its authority. David said in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, they realize that it has searched them. It's got the authority to search out the deep things of God.
Amen.
It has searched your heart, if you've read it. For the Bible said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It had searched their hearts. In fact, it had searched the secret places of their heart. That Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yes.
It'll get down into the deep recesses of a man's heart and search out the deep things of man's heart.
Amen.
Better believe it will. Amen. That's right. Then they know its power. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful.
Amen.
Anybody that's got half sense knows that the preaching of that book is the only way there is to conversion of sinners.
Amen.
The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful.
Amen.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can divide asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of man's heart.
Amen.
What a book. You're not going to hide anything from God.
Amen.
People live today like they got a few little things they can tuck away and hide from God. God will never see. I believe I just read a psalm the other night in my devotions at bedtime where the psalmist said, they say that God will never see, but He sees it all.
Amen.
And he knows the very secrets of every man's heart.
Amen.
Said so in Romans chapter number 2. It even judged the secrets of man's heart. Now stay right with me. And then finally they faithfully recognize the exceeding sinfulness of sin. I didn't want to say a whole lot about this. I was afraid to turn some of you off. It's a humbling and experiential knowledge of it. If you have experienced the forgiveness of sin, you don't have any problem recognizing the exceeding sinfulness of it. I've never seen people today that want to flirt with sin. It's like fire. They want to play with it. Get as close to it as they can without getting burnt. I made it that time. But I'm going to tell you one of these days you'll get too close.
Amen.
I told Benny one time we lived out in Arizona. I pulled a match out of a matchbox. I said, son, you see that match? He's a little bitty fellow. Shame on me. I hurt every time I tell this. I said, Benny, do you believe that match can burn twice? He said, no, sir. I said, I'm going to prove it to you it can. I struck it. I said, burning, ain't it, son? He said, yes, sir. I said, phew. He said, oh, it burned. I said, I told you it burned twice. God help me. He can laugh about it now. That's a bad thing to do.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, get too close. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? And the answer is no.
Amen.
And sin will burn you alive.
Yep.
And yet we want to treat it like it's a cream puff. That ex-cop elbowed his pregnant wife, girlfriend, in the throat and killed her. Killed her baby, 9 months pregnant, and pleaded with the court, please don't take my life. And they didn't take his life. If I'd have been a judge, I'd let him out back behind his jailhouse, son, and shot him. We're not going to stop. Hey, if I had the time, and if I could remember right off the top of the cuff where it's at, I'd go there anyway. But there is Scripture that talks about sins that have committed and have left blood. And the land is bloody because of sin. And the only thing that cleanses the sin, the bloody sin, is blood. Blood for blood, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's cleansed you is blood.
Amen.
And what that verse is telling is, in the land, you better enforce judgment and punishment. If you let sins of the land run rampant, the sin land will get so sinful it will get beyond God ever doing it. Not that God wouldn't, but men won't let Him. They'll love that sin more than they love God. And I have never seen so much of the killings and shooting and messing. And I'm going to tell you, America's got blood on its hands today, friend. And until our judicial system bears down and starts putting some of these sorry devils to death, somebody said, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible I'm preaching out of. That's right. The moral law is still intact for today, buddy.
Amen.
The only law in that book we don't follow is the ceremonial law. We don't offer lamb. But I'm telling you, the judicial law is and the moral law is still in effect today in the land. Amen. That's right. Listen carefully. It's a humbling knowledge of it. An awakened conscience occupies the mind with the consequence of sin. When your conscience is awakened, you're made aware of the consequence of sin. Well, I'm going to hell. I don't want to go there. But the anointing gives us an understanding of the nature of sin. That's where most Baptists are lacking. They don't understand the nature of sin. They don't understand the sinfulness of sin. Three little old things and I'm done. Need to realize that sin is enmity against us. Sin is against you. It's an enemy.
Amen.
That sin is a revolt against God. When Adam said, when Eve said, devil beguiled me, here I took it. And Adam took that. Adam revolted. He rebelled against God. He rebelled against truth. And sin is rebellion against the truth.
Amen.
And realizes that it's filthy. That it's vile. That it's wicked. And it is. It might interest some of you to know. Some of you may already know it. Now, I hope they've caught him. The two men. I think it was the Warrick County, Indiana jail they escaped from. One of them had raped a little 11-year-old girl in a school, in a churchyard, back behind the church. He had raped a 30-year-old woman in West Virginia and raped a woman in Litchfield. And had spent time in the Owensboro jail. And his little tact, the way he would do it, he crept into this one woman's house while she was having a yard sale. And when she came back in the house from a yard sale, he was standing in there naked. And he escaped from jail. He's on the loose tonight. And I don't know how many times they have had that man and let him go. For molesting kids and rape and this and that. And I'm telling you, that's vile. Miss Hall sent me a little email. I forget what they called it. I don't want this to... I don't want this to go on there. What are we going to sing, Brother George? 337. Sang right out, God spoke in your heart. Do you know what you know? Or you just got it up here? Let's sing right out on this song. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. Now, I want to say something before we go. Now, I know some of you don't believe, Brother Hall.